Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who does indeed bring us the true peace, the peace that lasts for all of eternity. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, ever since the days of Martin Luther, the Lutheran Church has been known as a singing church. Why is that? There are at least a couple of reasons for that reality. First, Luther knew that down through the ages, God's grateful people would take the mighty deeds of the Lord their God and put them into song. Think Moses and Miriam after the Lord God saved his people by bringing them through the Red Sea. Think Mary when she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth to share with her that glorious announcement that the angel Gabriel had proclaimed to her. Think Zechariah on the day that his son was given the name John. Think of all of those Old Testament psalms that take the mighty deeds of the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and joyfully put them into song. Secondly, the Lutheran Church has always been a singing church because Luther placed the musical arts right up there with theology. Luther understood that music was an absolutely wonderful way to take the truth of Scripture and teach it to others. For those two reasons, my friends, singing hymns, hymns that accurately and faithfully proclaim the truth of Scripture, have been an integral part of Lutheran worship right down to this very day. Because the Lutheran Church is indeed a singing church, and because there are so many wonderful hymns that we love to sing during this time of the year, I have decided to do something just a little bit different for our Advent season this year. The sermon series that we are going to follow on the Sundays in Advent is going to focus on that beautiful hymn that I'm sure we all love to sing, O Come, Emmanuel. On each of the four Sundays in Advent, we are going to focus on one stanza of that hymn and the scriptural truth that it proclaims. Today, then, as we begin this sermon series, our sermon theme is going to be taken from the opening words of that hymn, O come, Emmanuel. There are two questions that we want to address on the basis of those words. The first question is, who is Emmanuel? The second question is, what did Emmanuel come into this world to do? Who is Emmanuel? When you and I joyfully sing the words, O come, Emmanuel, whom are we addressing? The prophet Isaiah very clearly answers that question in the portion of Scripture that serves as our sermon text for today. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Now, did your Gentile ears catch how the prophet Isaiah answered the question of who is Emmanuel? If not, then listen to how those words of Isaiah were used 700 years later in the inspired book of Matthew. In his gospel account, Matthew writes, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us." Who is Emmanuel? Who is the child whose birth we are preparing to celebrate once again? Who is the one whom we are addressing when we sing those beautiful words of that beautiful hymn, O come, Emmanuel? He is God with us. He is true God and true man in one person. He is the one who was conceived by the Holy Ghost and born of the Virgin Mary. Yes, my friends, when we simply take the inspired words of Scripture at face value, when we leave behind all of our prejudices and all of our preconceived notions, There is no question. There is no doubt concerning who Emmanuel is. He is our God. He is our brother. He is the miracle of Christmas. But why? Why is it so critically important for us to know who Emmanuel is? It's important for us to know, my friends, because of what Emmanuel came into this world to do. In the hymn we sing, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. The true Son of God was born into this world as the true Son of Man in order to ransom us. He came here to redeem us, to buy us back from the spiritual enemies that had taken us captive. And how? How did Emmanuel ransom us? How did Emmanuel buy us back from the power of sin, death, and the devil? Again, when we simply take the words of Scripture at face value, the answer to that question is quite easy to see. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, Emmanuel himself says to us, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, we're told, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." The ransom price that Emmanuel was willing to pay in order to ransom us. The ransom price that Emmanuel was willing to pay in order to redeem us, to buy us back from our spiritual enemies, was nothing less than his own holy, precious blood. Yes, my friends, you and I cannot celebrate Christmas correctly without remembering that the child of Bethlehem was born into this world to die on a cross, to die for you, to die for me, to die as the ransom price for all people of all time. The two questions then that we have before us this morning are actually quite simple for us to answer, aren't they? By the grace of God, we know who Emmanuel is. He is God with us. By the grace of God, we know what Emmanuel came into this world to do. He came here to ransom us from our captivity to sin, death, and the devil. It is that simple. It is that clear. So, time for me to say amen, right? Not quite. I would be shortchanging you if I did not remind you of why. Why the only one who could save us, why the only one who could ransom us from the power of sin, death, and the devil is none other than Emmanuel, God with us. In his holy word, the Lord God Almighty declares that if we want to live with him in his heavenly home for all of eternity, we must meet his two requirements. First of all, the Lord God of heaven and earth requires that we be holy, that we be perfect, just as the Lord our God is holy and just as our heavenly Father is perfect. Secondly, the God of heaven and earth requires that we are not guilty of any sin whatsoever, because each and every sin causes the God of heaven to turn away from us in absolute disgust. You do not meet those criteria, my friends. Neither do I. The consequences for not meeting God's two criteria, his two requirements, is an eternity of suffering in hell. For as the Bible declares, the wages of sin equals death. physical death, spiritual death, as well as eternal death. So what do we do? Do we try to make up for the sins that we have committed against the Almighty by striving to do as many good works as we possibly can? We can try, but Scripture declares, "Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin." And again, Scripture says, "Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it." Okay? Since it's impossible for us to live that holy, perfect, and righteous life that God requires of us, do we hope? Do we hope that God will factor in that at least we tried our very best? Do we hope that God will accept the fact that at least we're not as bad as so-and-so? We can hope. And yet Scripture declares, "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away." And again, the Bible states, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of law." On our own, my friends, the only thing that you and I can do is endure the consequences for the sins that we have committed against the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, the consequences that we rightfully deserve. But that is not what God wants for you. That is not what God wants for me. That is not what God wants for anyone. So what did God do? In his amazing love, he sent Emmanuel into our world. In his amazing love, he sent his only begotten Son into this world to serve as our substitute. That tiny little baby, whose birth we are preparing to celebrate, came into this world as your true brother in order to fulfill God's requirement and live an absolutely perfect life for you. As the true Son of Man, Jesus always kept all of God's commandments perfectly in your place. And because you and I have never, ever kept even one of God's commandments perfectly, our brother Jesus, our Emmanuel, paid the penalty that we deserve to receive, and he paid it in full. And because our brother is both the true Son of God as well as the true Son of Man, his perfect life and his innocent suffering and death are sufficient. They are sufficient to count as the ransom price for all people of all time. And then, in order to fulfill God's requirement that you and I be holy, in order to fulfill God's requirement that you and I be perfect, our brother, our Emmanuel, gives us his holiness, he gives us his perfection as a free gift, purely by grace through faith in what he has done for us. As Scripture declares, he was delivered over to death for our sin and was raised to life for our justification. And again, the Bible says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That, my friends, that is why my heart hurts for everyone who does not know the true meaning of Christmas. That is why my heart hurts for everyone who belongs to a church that does not believe, teach, and confess what the Bible so clearly proclaims. All this took place to fulfill what was said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. If Jesus is just a man, if Jesus is not Emmanuel, then we are lost. Then the debt of our sin has not been paid. Then we will be required to endure the consequences of what we have done for all of eternity. What about you? Does your heart hurt for anyone that you know who does not know the true meaning of Christmas? Does your heart hurt because every year someone you love gets all stressed out about all the gifts and all the money and all the banquets and all the parties and all the gifts and all the things that are associated with Christmas, to the point that they get to the point where they simply wish that Christmas was done and over with? What are you going to do about it, my friends? How can you help make sure that your heart does not hurt? Again, the answer to that question is actually quite simple. First, you set a good example for them. Let them see and hear the joy in your heart, the joy in your words, the joy in your life. Let them see and hear why Christmas is so special to you. And then, look for opportunities to share with them that joy of Christmas. Look for opportunities to share with them the true meaning of Christmas, so that they too can come to know who Emmanuel is and what Emmanuel came into this world to do for them as well. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Praise God, my friends, that through faith in what the prophet Isaiah records for us here in our text for today, that we are indeed able to celebrate the true meaning of Christmas. Praise God that through faith in the scriptural truth that the child of Bethlehem is indeed Emmanuel, that we will be able to celebrate Christmas for all of eternity. Praise God that hundreds of years ago, the mighty deed of the Lord that was prophesied here in Isaiah and fulfilled through the Virgin Mary was put into song. A beautiful song that we love to sing with hearts that are overflowing with joy and with confidence. Praise God that purely by His power and purely by His grace, we know, we believe, we trust in who Emmanuel is and what Emmanuel came into this world to do for us. For then, my friends, then we will indeed be able to follow the encouragement of that beautiful hymn, "Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel." To God be the glory. Amen. Please rise.